Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this day, and I am glad to be with you too. We're here for a special purpose, the same purpose of which we gather every time we gather in this space, which is to take the time to listen to God's holy scriptures, to give thanksgiving and praise to a God who loves us, and to gather together to worship once more. And so worship we shall. Friends, let us begin our time of worship by singing together our first hymn, Mission Praise 167, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now as our youngsters make their way out for their last Sunday school before break.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to verse 16. And this can be found on page 150 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. A lame man is healed. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour for prayer. There, at the beautiful gate, as it was called, was a man who had been lame all his life. Every day he was carried to the gate to beg for money from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John going in, he begged them to give him something. They looked straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." So he looked at them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have no money at all, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you to get up and walk." Then he took him by his right hand and helped him up. At once, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and started walking around. Then he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. The people there saw him walking and praising God, and when they recognized him as the beggar who had sat at the beautiful gate, they were all surprised and amazed at what had happened to him. As the man held on to Peter and John in Solomon's porch, as it was called, the people were amazed and ran to them. When Peter saw the people, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why are you surprised at this? And why do you stare at us? Do you think that it was by means of our own power or godliness that we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has given divine glory to his servant Jesus. But you handed him over to the authorities, and you rejected him in Pilate's presence, even after Pilate had decided to set him free. He was holy and good, but you rejected him. And instead, you asked Pilate to do you the favor of turning loose a murderer. You killed the one who leads to life, but God raised him from death, and we are witnesses to this. It was the power of his name that gave strength to this lame man. What you see and know was done by faith in his name. It was faith in Jesus that has made him well, and you can all see." Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. We'll continue now with our next hymn, Mission Praise number 30. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord.
Thank you.
Friends, as we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading, let us raise up a brief word of prayer once more. Let us pray. Heavenly God, as we reflect upon your holy scriptures once more this day, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might be shaped by it, transformed and led by it, that we would hear your heavenly words for us this day and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Acts, as will all of our scripture readings this summer. I was inspired, as I always am, by the story of Pentecost this year and decided that we should take some time this summer to look at the stories within Acts, because they are the only account of this period of the early life of the church that we have. I mean, there are some other accounts, but this is the only one in the Bible, really. And so I have decided to pull together some stories that I think will help showcase the themes of Acts, but I think realistically we're going to get through maybe a third of the book of Acts because there's so much written in there. Acts, as you might or might not know, was written by the gospel writer of Luke. So the author of the Gospel of Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. As you would know, if you read the last chapter in Luke and the first chapter in Acts, there is a lot of sort of overlapping themes, and they take place both at the ascension of Jesus. Now, the story of Acts follows after that moment, and particularly follows the Acts of the disciples, of the apostles, and their attempt to sort of manage the newfound religious ownership that they have and responsibilities that they have. They take up the fight that Jesus was battling to connect the people with God and to correctly understand how we associate with each other and with the divine. We're going to see a lot of verbal conflicts and speeches. In later chapters, we're going to be introduced to a man named Saul, who's not a good guy, who then will become Paul, who's a great guy. And we also will notice in later chapters that a part of Paul's journey, it says, we traveled for a time, because indeed, the gospel writer of Luke did travel with Paul in person for a period of time. That's a lot of information, but what it boils down to is Acts is a very complicated piece of literature written by Luke, the gospel writer, who by all accounts is a physician, a man well-learned, who uses complex language to communicate meaningful messages. Today's scripture in particular takes place a short while after the events of Pentecost. It says one day. Doesn't necessarily mean exactly one day later, just a short while after. We have this moment where Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray for the afternoon. And as they travel, they come across a man who is lame from birth, who is being carried so that he can beg at the temple courts. When he sees Peter and John entering the gates, he asks them for money, as he does from everyone. And if you read between the lines in the scripture, it becomes apparent that when he makes this request, he isn't even looking at them. But I think that makes sense, because when you have constant rejection from asking for help, it becomes very hard to look people in the eyes when you ask again. But Peter and John have heard this man's request, and they look directly at him. And Peter, in turn, says, "Look at us." So the man turns, expecting to receive something. Maybe he holds out his hand, or a cup, or a bowl. But Peter then does something that we have not seen in the scriptures until this very moment. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he grabs the man's hand, pulls him to his feet, and instantly he is able to walk. And his response to this healing is to jump and praise God as they enter into the temple courts, drawing some attention to themselves. As people recognize the man who was begging at the gates, maybe they've just seen him, maybe they gave him money, but they wonder and marvel at him walking and praising God. This piece of scripture stands to make an important distinction between the healings that will come in Acts and the healings that have happened in the Gospels. Peter is trying to make it clear to those who listen and to those who read the scriptures that it is not by his power or authority that this man is healed. Instead, it is the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And this theme is going to continue throughout the book of Acts. Part of why this is important is we are differentiating between the healing that the apostles do versus what Jesus has done. Because we believe that Jesus is God. And so when someone touches his garment or Jesus says a word, the healing power of God flows directly from him to those he interacts with. Whereas what the apostles are doing is they are calling on Jesus' name to pull this divine strength from elsewhere to heal and to share the name, whereas Jesus is divine himself. It's kind of an important distinction to make when we talk about these kinds of things, because calling upon the name of Jesus is something that we still do when we pray. And it is something that comes out of a tradition where you hold a strong sense of mysticism around somebody's name and the name of things. To understand this context a little bit better, we need to look further back to the very name of God itself, the Tetragrammaton. The name of God has no name, but we are told what God's name is for the first time when God meets Moses in the burning bush. Because Moses says, "Hey God, you're asking a lot from me. What do I tell these people the name of their God is?" God simply says, "Tell them, I am has sent you," which in Hebrew is the verb haya. And the reason why that's important is because every word in Hebrew is made up of three letters as a base. And then you put stuff on the back, you put stuff in the front, and occasionally you put stuff in the middle to change how a word is designed. And this same word root for I am encompasses the letters that are made up of God's holy name, Yod, He, Vav, He. And we sometimes hear people pronounce this as Yahweh or Jehovah. But we don't know that that's how that is pronounced. We added vowels later to what we thought it would be pronounced. Because when people in the ancient world saw God's name, they did not pronounce those letters. They instead said Adonai or Elohim, which means Lord or God, respectively. People were afraid to speak God's name, as it were, because they were worried of the strength that would lie within, and if they risked defiling it, they would incur the wrath of God. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's one of the commandments. And so when we look at using the power of a name, there is a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear in the sort of traditions of these Jewish people. But in this moment, there is a transition out of fear into acceptance and closeness, because Jesus' name is invoked freely and is invoked without fear. And the apostles use that name to heal the people around them. It is a powerful moment that illustrates the new closeness of God and of God's name and the incredible power that the name of Jesus can invoke. And so it's in this moment that Peter has invoked Jesus' name, and he is using it not just to showcase the power of God, but he is using it to teach people. Because the moment their attention is upon him for the miracle he has done, Peter does exactly as Jesus has done throughout the Gospels. When he heals someone and all eyes are on him, it's time to preach. And Peter takes a moment to clarify people's wonder and amazement that it is not his power, but the name of Jesus and God's power that healed this man, and reminds them who Jesus is, reminds them that they were the ones who put Jesus to death mere months ago, and that Jesus was God's Son, was the promised righteous one. And the chapter goes on for several more paragraphs as Peter proselytizes to the people who are listening and makes believers out of them. Peter calls out to the people in this crowd, sharing Jesus' story with them. And for me, I think this is such a beautiful moment because it is a representation of the change that the disciples have undergone through Pentecost. Peter, the night Jesus died, the early morning hours, followed Jesus to the same temple courtyard he is in now. But back then, he denied him three times and ran away into the darkness. Here, he preaches with confidence about who Jesus was, why it's so important, and makes new disciples in the same space mere months ago he fled and his Savior was executed. It is a powerful moment showing Peter's transformation and what he is doing as a part of this calling. He is following in the footsteps of John the Baptist, who called out to people, "Repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Rely on him and find healing in his presence." We see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Peter. We see the power of the name of Jesus at work. But it is not the power of the moment that Peter finds most important to preach on. He wants people to turn to God in faith, to remind them of the presence of Jesus Christ, to remind them that their Savior is risen, is ascended, and his name still holds great strength here on earth. So I hope that we will take to heart the lesson of Peter's example today. We will be confident to call on Jesus' name, to ask for his help, to preach his story and to share his message of who he was and why it was so important. Because there is power in his name as surely as there is power in his story. And when we share it today, we are still giving people courage to know Jesus, to come closer to him, to understand him. And then in the next 2 months, we will hear about the courage of the disciples as they share this word in a world that is combating them. We will hear how far the name of Jesus can carry them and how strong the name of Jesus still rings out to make new believers, to heal those in need, to share the word of God being the blessing above all else. Friends, let us follow in Peter's footsteps and inspiration, continuing to call on the name of Jesus, continuing to share Jesus' story, continuing to grow the family of God. This is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, We ask that you would grant us the same blessing that you have given to Peter, to be courageous, that our words would be chosen with care to inspire others by your greatness and your story, to inspire others to closeness with a God who loves them. We ask that you would bless us, granting us strength and wisdom to share your story, to help grow the family of God once more, that all would know the grace and peace, the strength and healing that comes from a relationship with God. We ask that you would bless us by your presence this day and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, let us close our time of worship by singing together our final hymn, number 673, There Is a Redeemer. Friends, whether it is you depart after our final amens or a time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, we are going to walk beside the apostles once more as they embark on a new journey and new responsibilities. Let us hear their stories and let them inspire us. As we have seen Peter take his first steps today, as a true leader in the life of the church, not reveling in God's power, but instead using those moments to share the name of Jesus and his wonderful story. Let us have the same courage to share the good story of Jesus' life, that others might come to know his name and our family of God might grow together. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us always.